This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Big development projects typically follow a familiar pattern. First, there's the ceremonial groundbreaking with custom shovels and hard hats. Then there's months, sometimes years, of moving earth and building. And finally, there's the pomp, developers bringing out the big old scissors to cut the ribbon to signal completion, and plenty of handshakes and back patting for a job well done. That's what video clips and photos show. Unfortunately, it's often the case that community members are missing from such celebrations because they've been left out of critical discussions of what could make new developments in their neighborhood work for them. Completed projects can lead to significant changes, the kind that don't serve current residents and lead to various shifts that play out in who can live, work, and be there. That well-known phenomenon is gentrification. But community development efforts don't have to go that way. Joining me in studio to talk about that is a developer-turned-community convener who's dedicated to connecting with communities in St. Louis's North Side, an area where residents have historically been left out of meaningful conversations around plans for revitalization. Christopher Peoples is the Equity and Economic Impact Director for Great Rivers Greenway. He's also the Executive Director of Brookline North Community Development Corporation. Christopher, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
And I know that was kind of a long intro, but sort of painting a picture, I think, is really helpful here. So, Chris, what is the scope of your work? That is, you know, what are the issues that you directly work with?
Yeah, so the Brookline Greenway is a project, infrastructure project, that will be weaving a connection through the communities of St. Louis, connecting Forest Park in the west to the Grand or to the Gateway Mall in the east, and then Fairground Park in the north to Tower Grove Park in the south. And as a part of that infrastructure project, we know that there'll come investment, there'll come development. And my job and my role at Great Rivers Greenway is to work with the city agencies like St. Louis Development Corporation and the mayor's office to come up with policies and procedures that make sure that we're taking into account what the impact of this project will be and make sure that we're doing community-based and community-driven economic development opportunities for the community.
Mm-hmm. How is it that you got into this work?
Yeah, it was a pivot. So for almost 20 years, I worked as an engineer and a land surveyor. And I wanted to come back home and I wanted to focus on doing work in community and helping people that look like me. And so I'm actually from North City and mm-hmm. I felt like this was an opportunity for me to work on a project that would have impact to my community and people that look like me. What's very unique about it is I actually started off as a project manager on the project. And then when this opportunity came about to be the economic development director for Gray Rivers Greenway, I felt like it was more in line with where I wanted to go with my career.
Mm-hmm. Were there some conversations that you had with people about the opportunity?
Yes, a lot of conversations. Yeah. So I kind of always knew this is where my heart wanted to go. I felt like this was an opportunity for me to make a change in a role that people that look like me normally aren't in. And so I felt like looking at this, it was a way to pivot and take my skills as an engineer and as an urban planner and use those in a different way to help build community-driven projects.
Mm-hmm. And since we're on radio, you say, look like me.
Yes.
What does that mean?
A middle-aged African-American man.
Okay. And from the North Side,
and
as
from
you
North
said.
St. Louis, yes.
So when I was reading the introduction, you were kind of nodding and acknowledging the familiarity, I guess, of some of the things that were being described. And we asked our audience on social media what concerns they have around gentrification. And Sarah James on Facebook said she has no issue, quote, as long as low-income families aren't shoved out via eminent domain, and if they want to leave, they're paid accordingly. Note, sometimes the word development is used interchangeably with gentrification. Chris, how is it that gentrification differs from development? And are there overlaps that we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, let's take a step back and unpack that. And so sometimes there's always the assumption that gentrification is a negative thing or can be a negative thing. And sometimes it can have a positive effect. And so when you look at development, the key things you want to look at is making sure that you're taking into account the people that are there, that you're putting policies and procedures in place to make sure that there's not displacement and disenfranchisement of people that already live there, and that you're also building a community. And so as a part of that development, that the community, the neighborhood, it's not losing its history. It's not losing aspects that are its aesthetics, things that are important to the people that are there, and that you're also listening to the voice of the people that are there, and you're giving them an opportunity to be a part of the development process.
Mm-hmm. Now, to the point that Sarah had made on Facebook, I mean, can there be development in communities without displacement happening? And, you know, is really that the main difference between gentrification and development?
Most definitely there can be development in community without displacement and gentrification. And so, like I said, it's being very methodical and making sure that you're taking the time to go through the steps of engaging community, making sure that you're putting the policies in place to make sure that you're tackling those things ahead of the curve. So with my work, I was given four aspects to make sure that I'm looking at. Obviously, looking at that, making sure that the community is a part of the design so that the history, the aesthetics of the community are being incorporated into the Brickline Greenway project. Also working with small businesses and existing businesses in a footprint to make sure that they have the tools so that they can be a part of the development as it comes along. Thirdly is working with policy and procedures. So working with the mayor's office, the St. Louis Development Corporation, to make sure that as they're doing planning around these development and infrastructure projects, that they're taking community into account. And then lastly, at Gray Rivers Greenway, as we traverse these new communities that we haven't previously served, that we're being a good steward to those communities, that we're taking an equitable approach to how we're doing development, and that we're being inclusive on how we make our decisions.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to invite you to the conversation. Are there certain red or green flags you look for when new development comes to your neighborhood or to parts of the community that are close to you? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. You had talked earlier about the work that you had done before coming into this position, working with Great Rivers Greenway, and you have shared that you've learned a lot with and from community in this newer role, and specifically in St. Louis Place, Jeff Vanderloo, and the Covenant Blue Grand Center neighborhoods. Chris, tell us about some of the things that you have learned with regard to developing in the communities that you're working in now.
Yeah, so the Great Rivers Greenway approach is making sure that we're engaging community through the design process. And so working with Shaughnessy Daniels, our civic engagement manager, director now, actually, I was able to be a part of that conversation and work with community on a day-to-day basis. Through that, I identified some key strategies that the community wanted to see. They wanted to see redevelopment partnerships, so they wanted to make sure that we're working with people already in space to get those redevelopment opportunities going. Community service partnerships, so how can we fill in those resources that the community are missing and making sure that we're working with those partners like Mission St. Louis and Tabernacle CDC that are already operating in the space to do those things. Workforce and apprenticeships, so obviously working with Slate and the city's employment agencies to make sure that we're looking at ways that we can activate employment as the infrastructure project comes along. And then affordable housing opportunities. So Gray Rivers Greenway, we're not a development agency. Mm-hmm. We're a public park and space agency. And so we work with existing partners to make sure that we're looking at how we can identify affordable housing opportunities and how we can amplify the work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so working with community and listening to what they said, those were the things that they highlighted were important to them. And so we looked at a way that we could activate that somehow. Mm-hmm.
So listening to community members, that takes getting them in the same room with you, in the same space. There's a lot of history in this area of St. Louis where neighborhoods are now the biggest example of what we've seen as far as some of the negative effects that come with urban renewal is Mill Creek Valley. And there was supposed to be development there. And little to nothing was accomplished, and there was that displacement of people. I mean, put another way, people lost their homes. And not only were homes lost, but sense of community, You talked about some of the design elements that that would be retained. I mean, we do see Pillars of the Valley now by Damon Davis up by the soccer stadium. But with that kind of history, I mean, how much of that remains in residents' memories and comes up if you can get people in the same spaces with you?
Yeah, it comes up all the time. So people in community, they take pride in the community that they're from, especially if they're longtime residents or they're legacy residents who are coming back home from being away. And so what you want to do is you want to take a step back and you want to listen to their concerns. You want to let them identify landmarks and historical destinations that are critical to them. And then you try to figure out how you can activate that. We do a good job of doing interpretive work with the community. If you look at the Mill Creek Valley segment as an example, we've worked with the residents of Mill Creek Valley to make sure that we've heard their stories. We tried to highlight some of those stories. And as that segment moves down towards Harris Stowe, we've worked with Harris Stowe as a partner to understand their history as a historically Black university. And then also the Stars Field, which is located on our campus. So we try to work with community to identify those key nodes, those things that we can elevate and make sure that we're amplifying those historical stories and bringing it back to them and making sure that they feel a part of the process. As I said before, if they're a part of the process, they feel like they have ownership in the project, and therefore it makes it more successful and makes it a thriving place to be.
We need to take a short break here, but before we do that, I would like to invite you to the conversation. Where have you seen community development done well? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. We'll be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Chris Peoples, Equity and Economic Impact Director for Great Rivers Greenway. Chris also serves as the Executive Director of Brickline North Community Development Corporation. So Chris, before the break, one of the things that you did point out when you were discussing the scope of your work is that housing is not in your purview, nor is it in the purview of Great Rivers Greenway. I think that's something that is important to make sure people understand, because if we do have calls, that's not something that you can respond to. You did say, too, that you grew up in North St. Louis. Tell us about the three neighborhoods that you are focused on primarily with the work that you're doing.
Yeah, so it's been an honor to get to know these three neighborhoods. So it started off as an initiative of me trying to help Ms. Audrey Edelman, who's a resident of the Coveted Blue Grand Center neighborhood, where you guys' office is located at, obviously in the central corridor of the city. And then also working with the Neighborhood Association of Jeff Vanderloo, so the JVL neighborhood, which is also adjacent to the Brickline North Connector Greenway. And then lastly was the St. Louis Place neighborhood, which was an opportunity that came about as chance, as working in partnership with St. Louis Development Corporation. They introduced me to the leadership of the Neighborhood Association of St. Louis Place. And so we all came together and realized that we were all marching towards the same goal. We wanted to see the same things happen for these neighborhoods. And even though these three neighborhoods have different identities, different demographics, they all had some of the same similar problems. And the fact that the Brickline Greenway would be traversing it and that I could be a resource to them, I thought it was an opportunity to bring us all together and see how we could move forward.
And what are some of those problems or challenges that are shared?
Yeah. So obviously vacant lots and vacancy. So that's a concern. Public safety, like most residents, all three neighborhoods had concern about public safety, infrastructure projects. How can they connect their neighborhoods not only to the business corridors, but also how can those business corridors pull people out of the neighborhood? So making sure that there's ADA accessibility and other infrastructure projects like lighting that could help make make the residents feel welcome. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, they want to see their business corridors activated. So these three neighborhoods share business corridors together, right? So you have the Grand, North Grand Corridor, which traverses Jeff Vanderloo and Covetta Blue Grand Center. And then you have St. Louis Avenue, which traverses Jeff Vanderloo or JVL, and then also St. Louis Place. And then you have the street like Parnell and Market, Cass, Martin Luther King. So there was all these corridors that used to be thriving African-American business, neighborhood business corridors. And so they all wanted to see those activated. And they believed that through programming and activation, that would help bring their neighborhoods back. Mm-hmm.
Do you personally have any recollection of what vibrancy looked like?
Yeah. So when I grew up in the College Hill neighborhood playing basketball at Fairground, I do remember walking down Grand and there being a McDonald's, a Nationals grocery store. There wasn't much of a food desert then. There was multiple grocery stores in the neighborhood. I remember going to Tucker's, which was a retail store at St. Louis Avenue and Grand. So I remember going to Lindell Bank with my mother who banked there. And so I remember all of these places being active and I don't remember the vacancy that you see now as far as land. And so mm-hmm. there was buildings, there was activity along Grand and St. Louis Avenue.
Yeah. Another member of our audience chimed in on Facebook, Dionysus Duncan. And Dionysus said that he thinks gentrification is a good thing, quote, for communities that are failing to thrive. And he said that it's time for something new. So with the recognition that people will sometimes conflate development with gentrification. Chris, what is it that you have learned about the development of new businesses? You were talking about the businesses that you saw when you were a kid, when you were growing up. And you know, when it comes to introducing new amenities and new opportunities in communities that haven't seen that for many years, what have you gleaned from the time that you have spent talking with community members in particular?
Yeah, I want to get us to a place, especially in this region, that we can see gentrification as more than just a negative thing and maybe pivot to that it is a positive thing. If done right, I think gentrification can be a good thing for any neighborhood. Gentrification isn't just a term of moving whites in and blacks out or whites in and colors out. It's more of looking at how does the fabric of the neighborhood change. And so, as I said earlier, if we're doing it at a community level, that the community's involved in the development and how their neighborhood is changing, then I think there's warmth there. I tell people all the time, me moving back to the city from West County could be a form of gentrification, right? But I think when you look at me, it doesn't come off that way. And so mm-hmm. I think we have to say, bringing back development to the city, especially the Central Corridor and North City, is critical for us bringing our region back and making it thrive. And so that means we have to make some hard and tough decisions on what that look like. But I think if we do it at a community-based level and we do it slowly and in the right way, everyone will thrive from it.
Mm-hmm. Hard and tough. Which ones are hard and tough?
So hard and tough as far as conversations is what does the development look like? We might not get a Home Depot, you know, right in the community. Mm-hmm. But how can we bring in those small businesses that are sustainable? How do we bring in the resources that the community need? I mean, we've lost the Walgreens. How do we bring Walgreens back to the neighborhood? Mm-hmm. How do we get rid of some of these food deserts? So there's ways that we can do development that benefit the residents there and make sure that it's going in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, community engagement, we're talking about this. You know, folks who work in nonprofit spaces are very familiar with community engagement work. And at its heart, it's really about getting out and talking to people who live in and frequent spaces, you know, that you're wanting to learn more about. It could be about businesses, as you've said, about infrastructure, housing. In my case, as a journalist and host, it's about learning people's stories and stories of the places that they call home. How is it that community engagement has directly inspired what you're doing with Great Rivers Greenway? Like, is that very much sort of the North Star for you?
Yes, it's definitely the North Star. I really don't think I would be successful at what I'm doing or achieve some of the accomplishments I had have in this work if it wasn't community engagement based and it wasn't listening to the residents and the stakeholders in community to see what they need and what they want. Also, to one of your points, it's not just getting out and engaging people, but it's meeting people where they're at. And so that means being community engagement at different facets, right? There might be us doing an event on our own saying, hey, come interact with GRG. It might be us partnering with another event to say, we're here and we're in space. And it's also being transparent. So that's letting community know what things we can do and what things we can't do and trying to be a resource to them as well.
Mm-hmm. What's the energy or the vibe typically like in these meetings with community members where they are?
So this has been a 3-year journey for me. I'll be honest with you. The vibe at first was, okay, here's another wish and a prayer. Here's another promise that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. To where we are now, the vibe is amazing. The energy is infectious. People see things coming now. As you see the ground breaking in Mill Creek and the construction going on, we'll be breaking ground in North City soon. And so I think that it's infectious. People see, okay, the things that they said they were going to do, they're actually doing. They're actually implementing these things. And so it brings more people in. It started off as us just interacting with the same small group of residents to now it's kind of, like I said, expanded to other people, and now more people want to be involved.
Mm-hmm. How is it that you've assured folks, Chris, that you're not coming in to perform community engagement? Like, all right, we're here and we'll take some notes. We're not really going to do what you're going to do. I mean, is folks, people, you know, seeing that things are happening really the thing that has changed the way that you interact with people?
Yeah, like I say, I have to give credit to our community engagement staff at GRG. But we do have a process of act, and align, as it's a process that we use. And so I think that's how community benefits and sees the benefit of their input to our work. We'll come into community, we'll get feedback, we'll get input, and then we go to the design team. We try to implement what the community has asked. We take it back to them and say, did we hear what you asked for clearly? And if we haven't, then we try to make an alignment to make sure that we're getting closer and closer to what they want. Mm-hmm. And as we go through that process, that cyclical cycle, we get closer and closer to what they want, and they actually see the things that they've asked for implemented. And that gives them hope that, okay, this wasn't just a talking conversation, but they're actually putting these into place.
Mm-hmm. What is the status, Chris, of the current projects that are part of the Brookline Greenway?
Yeah, so the project is in different phases and at different corridors. As I just stated, the Mill Creek segment, which is from the MLS Stadium down to Harris Stowe, is currently under construction. The North segment, which will go from Fairground Park down Grand Avenue, down Cass to the Foundry, that goes out to bid next month, and then that'll be construction starting late spring, early summer. And then we have the Metro Corridor, which goes from the Cortex Metrolink Station down to the Grand Metrolink Station. Design for that will end this year and probably go out to bid early next year. And so it's kind of a rolling clock, but the goal is to have all of this wrapped up by the end of 2029-30.
You'd mentioned that there have been consistent community members showing up to these meetings. What does that look like as far as age range, for example? Are you seeing more older folks? Is there a mix of ages or generations? What is that like?
Yeah, at the beginning, it started off as more senior members of the community, more established people that have been there longer. But now it's starting to deviate or broaden the scope of people. Now we interact with the high school and schools around the project. So we're getting the students involved. And then it's going all the way up to the elderly. But the bandwidth of who all participates is wide.
Mm-hmm. And in just the last minute, who is it that you would like to see get more involved with these community planning meetings? And what would you say to bring them out?
Yeah, I would like to see more middle-aged people get involved, people that are in the community. I know it's hard with work schedules and things like that. That's why we try to make sure that our engagement opportunities are throughout the day and through different times of the week. But I would like to see more middle-aged people get involved, people that have the opportunity to help grow the population of St. Louis and bring back the younger people. Also, I'd love to see developers, so especially those smaller developers, those upstart construction companies, come to these meetings and see what opportunities there are for them to participate.
Chris Peoples is Equity and Economic Impact Director for Great Rivers Greenway. He also serves as the Executive Director of Brookline North Community Development Corporation. Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.